I was a missionary in Egypt for a year with the Young Adults and Global Mission Program. Many of you, I've shared stories from this experience before. And all of you who are in high school or in college, I invite you to do the same. I'm just putting my plug in right now. The Young Adults and Global Mission Program. Catherine? So I was in Alexandria, Egypt, which is on the Mediterranean coast, right where the Nile runs into the Mediterranean Sea on the north part of Egypt. And that city was founded by Alexander the Great when he conquered the known world. He founded a city to, you know, glorify himself. And so there's all kinds of artifacts and archaeological sites there. There's a big pillar that the general Pompey put up when he conquered that area for the Roman Empire. And there's a Roman amphitheater, and there's other archaeological sites. And there's a place called the Catacombs, and it was a really neat place. It was dug into the rock, and you walk down these stairs that they had dug right into the rock, and down there they had buried people, and it was kind of like the rich person's burial place, and they actually had a spot down there where you could have dinner. We didn't have dinner because, you know, but back in the day, back, you know, hundreds and thousands of years ago, they would have dinner down there to celebrate the people who had died and remember them. It was kind of a ritual. Anyways, I wanted to take some of my friends there because people would come and visit me in Alexandria, and I would take them to all the archaeological sites, and we would do the touristy thing. And I had a map, and I'd been to all these places before. And so one day, my friends, Laura and Lachlan, who are also missionaries there while I was there, were visiting. And we were going to go see the catacombs because I said, this is a really neat place. We need to go see it. And so we took the train to the center of town, and we get off the train, and Lachlan says, well, how about we just take a taxi from here? Wise Lachlan. So wise, Lachlan. I said, no, I have a map. I've been there before. We'll just walk. It'll be a nice walk. It's a fun area of town. We'll see some things. We'll walk by this pillar. We'll see. And I didn't tell her, though, that the catacombs weren't actually on the map. They were just off the map, and there was a little arrow on the edge of the map that said to the catacombs, like right there. And I thought, oh, I can do this. We can walk it, no problem. So we walk around, we get off the train, we say no to the taxi driver, we start walking, and we're having a good time. We're talking with each other, we're visiting. Then Laura's flip-flop breaks. This should have been a sign. Laura's flip-flop breaks. We buy her a new one. There's markets all around. There's stores. We get some stuff. There's people milling around. It's a busy day. There's cars and trucks and all kinds of people out shopping and eating and doing all kinds of fun stuff. It's a big city. Millions of people live there. Big city. And so we start walking. We go past the pillar. Then we're in this goat market, and there's like 500 goats just in the street. Also, this should have been a sign. And we're in the goat market, and we keep walking, and we're asking people directions because we're off the map at this point, and I'm kind of getting a little nervous, and I'm thinking, you know, we're so close. I know it's like right here, but all the buildings look the same, and I can't really read the signs yet. So we keep talking to people in our broken Arabic. You know, which way to the catacombs? And they say, oh yeah, just around the street here. Just keep going. You're almost there. And so finally, we get to a place where there is no one. Now, if you've ever been to Egypt, unless you're in the desert, there's no place where there is no one. It's a very populated country, and everybody lives within a mile of the Nile River. And so you are always with other people, always. I went to a shopping mall at 2:30 in the morning, and there was no place to walk. It was full. There were people with their toddlers there. I mean, it was ridiculous. Every time of day, there are people around. This is a populous place. And so when we were in this street and there was no one there, we were scared. And we were like, what are we going to do? So we walked. There's a main street. There was a canal. We walked to this main street. There's still no one around. We're like kind of freaking out a little bit. And this taxi goes by, and we flag the taxi. We say, can you take us to the catacombs? By this time, I'm humbled enough to say we need a taxi. And the guy says, okay. One block, two block, there we are. And the coup de grace, it was closed. It was closed! Ah, we walked all this way. I thought I knew how to get there. And in my pride, we got lost, and we had mishap after mishap, and it was closed to boot. It was a humbling experience for me. The Jewish leaders, the religious leaders in Jesus' day, thought they had the map. But they didn't realize that Jesus was off the map. They thought they knew what they needed to know about Jesus in order to judge who he was. They said, who's this Jesus guy? He's from Nazareth. What good comes out of Nazareth? He's a builder of some kind. He's the son of Joseph and Mary. We know his parents. Who is this Jesus fella? They knew about Jesus. They knew some facts about Jesus. Those things are true. What they said was true. But they didn't know Jesus. I think we get in trouble sometimes when we think we know about something, especially people. You know, we look at people, we look at their hair, we look at their clothes, we look at what they do for a living, and we think we know that person, but really we just know about that person. It's the same with Jesus. We know, you know, all of you here know a lot about Jesus. I know probably a lot about Jesus too. In fact, I've studied for 4 years at a master's degree to know about Jesus, about the church. I could list all kinds of facts. I can quote the Bible. But it's different than knowing Jesus himself. In German, there's two words for knowing. And in probably other languages too, but I know the German words. In German, there's two words for knowing. Wissen and kennen. Wissen is to know about. Wissen is to know the facts and figures. Wissen is to know, you know, the miles per gallon of your car. And to know someone's job and their CV, their curriculum vitae, you know, their resume. That's to know about. That's wissen. To know about. The other word is kennen. In English, we get the word kin from that word. Like kinsfolk, family, kennen. And that's to know in your heart. It's to know as a family member knows another family member. And that's what those religious leaders were lacking. They knew wissen. They knew about Jesus. And that little bit of knowledge prevented them from actually knowing Jesus. So I worry about that for myself sometimes, and I worry about that for you guys. Because knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus are totally different things. My grandma always used to say, and I've told you this before, and I'm going to tell you again because I think it's a good illustration. My grandma always used to say, the house just feels different when I know you're there. That's kennen. And so I say to you today, and Jesus says to us today, the world feels different, Jesus, because I know you're here. Kennen, because I know you're here. So Jesus is inviting us today to not know more about him, but to get to know him as a friend, as a teacher, as someone who loves us beyond our wildest imagination, to truly know that Jesus is here and the whole world's different. And the way we do that, I was just at camp 2 weeks ago, and Catherine can attest to this because she was there, and Ari, who's back there, can attest to this because she was there too. You know, I asked these girls and some other campers while we were at camp, and I would say, where did you experience God today? And there was lots of different answers, but one of the main themes that kept coming up is they would say, we just got to know each other in this group that we were in. And it wasn't this kind of knowing. It wasn't the knowing about. It wasn't knowing, well, where are you from and what school you go to and what's your favorite ice cream. No, it was different. It was knowing someone's heart, their fears and their longings and their joys and their aches, to know them inside. Kennen. And in knowing each other and in lifting up that knowing to Christ, they get to know Christ as well. And he comes and says, here I am. Here's the bread of life. And so it wouldn't be a Pastor Aaron sermon unless we practiced. So we're going to practice. And every time we practice, I've been hanging out with Jonathan these last two worship services, and Jonathan always says, Pastor Aaron, this is my least favorite part of your sermons. And I said, but we got to practice because it's in the sharing. And some of you who are in small groups or have been in small groups know this to be true. It's in the sharing, in the getting to know in our hearts, not about someone, but to actually know them. It's in the sharing and in the praying for each other that we experience and know that Christ is here, know that Christ is here, and the world is different. So if you're not sitting immediately next to someone, I'm going to invite you to move over to sit next to someone. And I want you to share, what are you hungry for? Where do you need Jesus to be the bread of life for you? What are you thirsty for? Where do you need Jesus to be living water for you? Share that with your neighbor. And then pray for each other. Lift up that hunger, that thirst to the Lord. Because he knows you. And the world is different. Go ahead. Mary. If you haven't already prayed for each other, go ahead and pray for each other now. All right? So I hate to interrupt, but we got to keep going. The great thing is that you can do this all the time, not just in worship when I invite you. This is how we can relate with each other all the time. Talking about what's on our hearts. Getting to know each other, not just about each other. And in doing so, knowing that Christ is here. Jesus says, all who have heard from the Father come to me. And so we can come to him always. To be fed, to be given a drink from the water of eternal life. In the sharing, we know that Christ is here. And the world is different. Amen.